You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
So why is it whenever anybody has some kind of psychic ability, they always seem to turn into criminals? They're like, I have a magic power, let's do crime.
Because that's what you do when you're super powered. It's one of the things that things like The Boys get right.
Well, today we are focusing on Volition, which is a new sci-fi crime drama, which, Loane, we know all about the crime drama, don't we?
Yes.
And as I mentioned, we've got Loane right there. There's also Ray.
Hello.
And Santiago. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How's everybody else doing out there? Hello, hello, hello.
Hopefully staying safe. So does anybody want to go into the synopsis of this film?
Sure, I can do that. The short version is James can see the future, but just in flashes, not really enough to help anyone, including himself. Very much. Then he meets Angela, sees his own death, and finally has to decide if he'll try and alter a future that's always seemed set in stone. Basically, it's the story of a guy, a girl, and a time loop.
Very concise and not spoilery. That was one thing I found with this film. It seems to be made of spoilers.
Yeah.
Anyone else notice that?
Yes, I was wondering how we were going to talk about this without talking about it.
Right? Just call it, you know, the thing where he does the thing with the stuff and then there's her. You know that part?
Yeah. I mean, we can't really avoid it. It would be nice to, but it's sort of hard to avoid the fact that there is a time travel element to it, because that's pretty much the bulk of it. I mean, once that's sort of revealed, I don't know. Maybe we need to edit that. I don't know how spoilery we're going to get, but it's a time travel movie. So, you know.
There you go, people.
I think you can talk about that without totally ruining it. I mean, it's a sci-fi movie. We've got elements of, I don't know, destiny and whether we have any control over that. And then there's time travel mixed into it. And I think that the meat of the movie doesn't necessarily come until after you know that. So,
sure.
That being said, I think it's okay for us to talk about the fact that it is a time travel movie, and that's all it's about, really. So, I mean, we're right. We're all right. We have to just talk about it. I don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah. It boils down to this guy who just is accustomed to things just happening. He doesn't have any real control over when he sees stuff, what he sees, or how detailed it is. He's got like memento notes everywhere of flashes he's seen, hoping that he'll figure out what they mean. And so he's somehow made it to well into adulthood and basically just resigned himself to whatever you see, it's gonna happen. Why even bother? Until he hits this situation where he wants to change it. And which is probably where the title comes in. You know, he finally does something of his own volition as opposed to just letting it happen. But it gets into things like fate and, as Santi said, destiny, you know, and whether or not those are a real thing. I don't know. But somehow I feel like if I could see the future, I would probably try to adjust it. You know, I mean.
And do crime.
Well, I mean, maybe not start out that way, but.
Yeah. Because he doesn't, this character, he doesn't always do crime.
Right.
There are times when he's trying to do something right, trying to do something good. So, and, you know, that's one of the things I enjoyed about it is the, you know, he's not perfect. You know, there are some times when they write these films, you know, where the characters either, like we were talking about, is using their power purely for good or purely for evil. And this guy is kind of using it for both. But of course, he's deeply flawed even in that.
I do think there's something to say about the fact that he's just an average guy who just happens to be clairvoyant. And I think that he knows that, and maybe that's why he's a little more interesting than, let's say, if there was just a really mean villain, which, you know, I think there is in this movie, who wishes that he had this gift. But the real, I guess the only part where I relate to this guy is it, you know, I believe it was Ray who said that he is kind of trying to be a good guy. And then maybe this just one decision is what set him off on the wrong path, but then we could lead right back into the conversation as to whether he was always supposed to be on that path. And I think that the movie is actually pretty fun because it really does toy with that without taking itself way too seriously. I do think even some of the reveals about the fact that it is a time travel movie were kind of subtle, which I thought was cool.
That was one of the things I really liked about it, too, is that they have these scenes where it goes through the point of view of, obviously, the main character, where, you know, it's his eyes, and then they go back to that scene at a different time, and you see it from a different angle, and you realize that different angle was there from the very beginning, but you couldn't see it based on the point of view. And the fact that that happened to scenes from the very beginning of the movie, pretty much, I thought was really, really interesting and added a lot to this film that without it would kind of just be a generic crime film.
Well, yeah, when he sees, and it's not really a spoiler, it's in the trailer, and I think I even mentioned it, when he sees a possible vision of his death, one of the things that stuck out to me was that it's not from his POV, like all of his other visions are. Like every other time he sees something happen, he sees it from his perspective. But this time he actually sees himself. And at first I thought, well, that's weird. Like, did they just hope nobody was going to, but then it gets further along. You're like, oh, that they actually did. You can see how he saw things the way he saw them then. So I think that's one of the things about this, because it's a time travel movie, you're either going to be all in or you're not. And, you know, their technobabble is either going to do the job or it's not. And this has the advantage of having a guy who's kind of a likable guy. And so you're like, yeah, I'll go along with this guy. I'll worry about the details, you know, whatever.
So we've gone a lot about, you know, the fact that, hey, newsflash, this is a time travel movie. Did we mention it's a time travel movie? How do you feel that time travel was addressed in this film? I know that time travel in movies often has a set of rules, and a lot of times those rules are broken in order to move the plot along. Do you think that this one did time travel well? Do you think it did it poorly? How do you
personally
think it was
done well? And I think that they had a new kind of a new twist on it, new perspective. You know, we've seen different mechanisms for time travel. This was a slightly different mechanism than we've seen before. So I thought that was new and creative. I thought that they handled, I can only think of maybe one thing, and again, it's a spoiler and I want to get into it, but I only think of maybe one thing that I didn't think was tied up well, but everything else to me, they, you know, didn't go back and you're going, oh, they screwed that up because the first time this happened, now that didn't, you know. I think they handled it really well, and they did it on what was obviously not a huge budget.
I think that budget issue may have been really helpful, because they create this time travel method that doesn't have a bunch of gadgets and a bunch of effects, and it has a very I don't know that I've seen this particular mechanism before, and I think it's interesting because it made me curious as to whether or not that really just works for him, you know, because there's something about him. I mean, they don't really use it otherwise, I don't think, but, or he doesn't, I don't think anybody else uses it directly.
Not person. No.
Yeah. Right. Not person. Obviously there's the other scene that he sees at one point, but so that was actually one of those things that makes it kind of interesting, in that it's not the giant time machine from H.G. Wells with the huge fan on the back, and it's not a DeLorean, and it's not anything super cool and elaborate, but it's actually still kind of cool.
Well, I actually, when they first explained the mechanism and first showed it, my literal response was, really? That's what you're going with? Okay. And I was rather unimpressed initially, because it just seemed kind of lame. And I don't know whether that's because I didn't get the technobabble, because I like that in a time travel-y sci-fi thing. Is that I, you know, the whole point of sci-fi is that it's supposed to be a higher technological universe, and they're adding that element in. And to kind of be like, this is the way we do time travel, accept it and move on, kind of annoyed me. But once they started getting into the story and utilizing the time travel aspect of it, it was really, really interesting. So it's like, all right, it may be a lame mechanism,
and
but
you
you're
really
using
say
it pretty
that it
cool.
doesn't work that way. I mean, who can, you know, I didn't try to analyze it too much myself, because, you know, who can really say how you actually time travel?
Well, I think most people into physics would tell you you can't, but so it really, the mechanism is however you want to do it, but, you know, whatever.
I think that's why it's that interesting, though. Just to add to the mechanism of time travel in this film, I do think that there's something to say about if anybody were to time travel because of physics, it would just be a trick that someone could do. And that and that being said, it probably was induced by something you could shoot up. And I don't know. I felt like in the end, I was really happy with the method of time travel in this film, just because it was, I don't know, it almost looked like a drug. And I was like, yep, this guy's tripping. And I also really liked the fact that they stuck to at least the idea that if you do make a decision, and whether or not it has any impacts on the future, that decision is already made and it's going on into infinity, because that's, you see the multiple versions of the character going on throughout the movie, which I thought was actually pretty cool. And it's the way that I always imagined, at least hoped, that things would happen if people were to time travel. It's like, well, that dipshit tried to trip me before I fell down the elevator shaft, but he missed, and now that guy's just going to be sad for the rest of his life because he fucked up his chance to change the past. And oh, I don't know, I'm going on, but I guess you all know that I had a lot of fun during this movie, but and I'm going on about it. But yeah, anyway, I thought it was well done.
Well, in this film, you do have the sci-fi element, but there's also the crime film element and kind of a romance film element, question mark. It's, you know, nebulous. So how did you feel the movie did with each of those, both the crime drama and the relationship between James, that's the main character, and Angela?
The romance thing, I think, worked as much as it needed to. It didn't overplay it, and I'm not even really hung up on his decision, because he makes a pretty drastic decision because of things that happen with Angela. And it seems like, well, he barely knew her, but he also is making up for a lifetime of not saving somebody else. And so I was willing to go along with that big a jump for him. I think the romance itself is pretty much exactly what it needs to be for a pair of people in that situation. The crime thing, it was sort of weird. The boss that he meets up with about this whole diamonds thing and everything else, I'm not really clear on their relationship. I mean, James has clearly worked for him before, but like, here's a bag of stuff. I need you to tell me everything you can about what's going to happen with it. That feels, I don't know.
And take it home with you just to have fun with.
Yeah.
It's like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trust for a criminal.
Right. Yeah. And which I kind of get, because there are times you see them interacting later in the movie, especially when things start to go off the rails, that it's clear that they have a pretty good relationship. James and the guy's henchmen, maybe not so much. But he and
Sal and Terry.
Yeah, those. Yeah. Also, how did you not see that coming? Now that everybody, I mean, speaking of seeing the future, how did you not see what happening?
Just, yeah.
When you're dealing with guys like that, but
if you can't trust Satan, who can?
I think you're exactly right about the romance angle. It didn't need to be any more than it was. It didn't need to be any less than it was. But I think another reason that it works is I really liked the two actors together that played the two main characters. They found two actors that played off of each other well, but they also played their own scenes well. And, you know, sometimes the chemistry is just not there, but I thought they had good chemistry. And yeah, you're right about the crime part of it, but especially the very broadly over broadly painted kind of henchmen, you know, who we all, oh, okay, yeah, those guys, we can't trust them right off the bat, you know. So you saw that coming. I don't think that by the end of the film that necessarily detracted from the overall story at all, even though you saw that. But, you know, they're not the main focus anyway.
Sure.
Anything to add, Santi?
I agree. That part sucked. Yeah, I mean, I also think that part sucked. I mean, the criminals were so predictably criminals, and they looked the part, and they were stereotypical. Yeah, that part was lame. I'm going to agree with that. As far as the chemistry between the two main actors, I mean, I'm going to have to agree. I mean, it was exactly what it needed to be, and that's all that I'll say. I won't add to that very perfect square that y'all made.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I will say in regards to James and Angela, I think James's reaction was pretty spot on. You know, like you said, Loane, about wanting to make up for past sins, essentially. But there were times with Angela, especially as it got later on and things started to get off the rails, I felt that, like, if I were in this situation, I would book it. It's like, fuck this, I don't know you, you're getting me into a very dangerous position, I'm out. And the fact that she reacted more like a girlfriend, even though this is somebody she met, like, that day, seemed a little unrealistic, in my opinion. But again, it wasn't too much. It didn't detract, it was just kind of, huh. And yeah, the crime aspect of it was a little stereotypical. Especially in regard to the henchmen, there are especially times where it's just like you expect like a boing sound effect. There was one of the things where the makeup, when one of the guys came in, where it literally felt like a cartoon. And it's like, where's Bugs Bunny when you need him?
He hits him with a garden shovel and then his face.
Yeah, that was exactly that moment. I'm like, really? Really? That's... okay. But the time travel aspect of it was very much the focus, and James was very much the focus. So the fact that that is what they focused on meant that the other stuff didn't quite... I mean, it was, you know, enough to give a side eye, but not enough to detract from the film as a whole, in my humble opinion. Well, then let's get into final thoughts. Since you're the one that always goes first, how about Santi? You go first this time.
Well, I was impressed by this film. I didn't recognize anybody in it. I don't recognize this director. I looked for things that he'd done, but I haven't seen any of it. But this was a really cool sci-fi film. I think that it was well executed. It was entertaining. It wasn't too long. I thought it had style. If any, the only thing that I may jab at it for was I thought that the soundtrack was just a little bit, I don't know, underwhelming. I feel like it could have been really cool. I think that the movie poster like makes me think that it's going to have a really cool and edgy techno-y type soundtrack. But all in all, yeah, I could talk about the nuances of this film for a while. I think a lot of people are going to like it. And I give it, this is surprising, but I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 garden shovels to the face.
Wow. And how about you, Ray?
Yeah, I enjoyed this film very much as well. And I know it had played some film festivals. In fact, I think it won a couple of awards back when we were having film festivals. But
it has won a lot of awards,
yeah,
actually.
So I was hoping that I would like it as much as the audiences did, and I really did. It's one of those that if I would have seen it at a film festival, I would have gone, I am glad I saw that. Tell everybody else that I knew around me who hadn't seen it to make sure they put it on their schedule. And then, you know, recommend it to my friends after the festival as it came out, said, you know, this is a small film and I know you haven't heard of it, but you really need to watch it. And so I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 uncut diamonds.
Last but not least, Loane.
When you get into movies that are sci-fi, whether the time travel or whatever. Sci-fi movies tend to have this sort of artificial slickness to them. And this movie doesn't. Now, part of that may be budget, but it reminded me of this Nacho Vigalondo flick I saw like a million years ago called Time Crimes, which is not slick and stuff. It's kind of gritty and sort of gross. And this one kind of is that same way. James feels real. You know, he's sometimes he's sweaty and he needs a shave and everything. You know, there's a certain tactile kind of awesomeness to this that makes it feel real, more so than an overproduced sci-fi flick. I really admire the craft of this movie, because when you get into that third act, there is a lot to keep track of. And from a production standpoint, trying to do some of those scenes, you know, where you've got to have this thing not quite run into this thing, but you had to have had it for the other scene. And that's, I admire them for just being able to keep track of that. And I don't know, again, I don't know what their budget was. They did have the advantage of being able to reuse about a quarter of their footage over and over. So that's probably a good way to save some money. Overall, I was pretty pleased with this. Anything I really had any criticism of, it wasn't really dramatic. I would certainly recommend this movie. Arbitrary score on this is going to be 4 out of 5 giant fucking hypodermic needles.
All right, so I agree with a lot of what you said. This movie was very fun to watch, and for those that aren't really into sci-fi, I think this is a good gateway one. You know, it has this sci-fi element, but it's not too overpowering. There is the part of me who loves sci-fi that wishes it had a little more sci-fi in it, but that may be a criticism for the big, you know, sci-fi heads out there. But all in all, it's a pretty solid movie. I mentioned, you know, that having to reuse those scenes and realizing that everything is, I wouldn't say spelled out, but like realizing that scenes from the very beginning, you had aspects of the end in because of the time looping thing, was really satisfying to realize. And seeing how everything connected was really, really interesting. The one big criticism I would say about this movie is the very, very ending and how it resolved itself. Luwain, actually something you said helped me try to figure out the ending, but there were bits of the ending that even now I still don't quite understand how it resolved. And it's like, well, it kind of felt that it needed a little bit more explanation as to how, you know, this whole movie is about fate and about, you know, this is the way things are and no deviation from it, and then trying to find ways to break it. And it didn't really go into how James was able to carry out his hero's journey, I guess, at the very end and give a conclusion to it. And so that was my one criticism, is like, as I walked away, I was happy, but then I was like, wait a minute. And so that would be my only big criticism for it. So I am going to give it 8 cans of beer that you drop on the roof. Party foul.